Today's sermon is Grow in Grace, and this is part two. We did part one last year, we did part one last week. So the title of today's sermon is Grow in Grace, part two. And if you missed the sermon last week, it's on the church website. You can always go there and listen again. So Grow in Grace, part two. Now, our main text will be 2 Peter, but before we go there, let's just go to Romans chapter 8. Something someone said here today reminded me that I need to emphasize that reference. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Now, if you are new to this church, the way the sermon goes is very interactive and engaging because I'm just trying to achieve maximum engagement. I don't want anybody to sleep during my sermon, and I think it's my job to ensure that. And the way I ensure it is to engage you. So you're going to do lots of, it's interactive. I'm going to ask questions. You're going to read. So just relax. That's how we do it here. And the way you will judge the effectiveness of that is when you leave, you see how much you've gotten. Amen? Romans 8:29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Yes, I'd like to have two or three readings. King James, New King James. Romans 8:29. Thank you. Let's start with this. We'll come to you, Pinky. Let's start with this. Romans 8:29.
Thank you. Amplified version. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, for ordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren.
Amen. Those he foreknew, he also predestined. Yes. Romans 8:29.
It's New Living Translation.
Yes.
For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son, so that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah. He knew them in advance. And he what? He predestined us. Yes, let's have one more version. New King James or King James? Romans 8:29. So this is God's plan for you. This is God's plan for you as a believer. Yes?
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Amen. That in simple language, before you ever met God, God's plan for your life is that you become like Jesus. Hallelujah. It's that you be conformed to the image of the Son. Or another way of saying that God's plan for you is that you become Christ-like. Hallelujah. God wants you to be Christ-like. That's what he had in mind before you ever met him. Hallelujah. Before you were born, God had a plan for you. And what was his plan? That you become what? Christ-like. And when you came to Christ, God does not stop that work there. Actually, when you came to Christ, yeah, was the beginning of your own journey to becoming what? Christ-like. Amen? And every day, as you are walking with Christ, Christ's goal in your life is to transform you. Hallelujah? That so that you can have more of him and less of you. And when I talk about that you, I'm really talking about your ego. I'm not talking about your talents. He gave you the talents. Amen? But he wants to conform them for his own glory. Hallelujah. You see, we can't all be the same. Yet we can be all the same. Amen? The similarity that is Christ in us. Hallelujah. Christ can live in each and every one of us. People can look at us and see Christ in us. I say those people are the same because they see Christ. At the same time, we can't be exactly the same. Because God made us uniquely with different personalities and different talents. And God wants to show forth his glory in our talents and our personalities. Yeah? We are not going to be all exactly the same. It's one body, but many parts. Hallelujah? But it's one body. Don't forget. It's one word. But if the parts begin to stand on their own, they are useless. Amen? It's together that they function. Yeah, for one purpose. So God's plan for your life is that you become conformed. Don't forget it. That is what, that's your business. That's your mission as a believer. To be conformed. to Christ, to become Christ-like. That's the journey you are on. It's a journey of transformation. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1 verse, in Colossians 1, he said, Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. Hallelujah. Because Christ is walking in you. Say with me, say, Christ is walking in me. Now that's not automatic. He's walking in you because you permitted him. Amen? He's walking in you because you invited him. Hallelujah. And the moment you invited him, you have actually really just surrendered to him. Or maybe you haven't. But if you haven't, then you are not really a Christian. You are just a church goer. But when you submit to him, when you surrender, Christ begins his work in you. Amen? This work will not be finished overnight. But as so long you keep walking with him, he will continue to transform you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all come to Christ. Yeah? At different, we all have different backgrounds. Yeah? And we come to Christ at different stages of our journey. But if you are in Christ, you don't remain the same. Hallelujah. Oh, you may be nicer than the next person, but your niceness is not still good enough for God. Amen? He said, you know, I don't need Christianity. Christianity is for the sinners. Hallelujah. In the presence of a holy God, you are a sinner. Hallelujah. No matter how good you are, no matter how law abiding you are, no matter how nice you are, in the presence of a holy God, you are what? You are nothing. So you need Christ. When Christ comes to your life, he's changing you. Whether you are friendly or not friendly, whether you are nice or not nice, Christ is what? Changing you. Because the image you need to be conformed to is the image of the perfect man. And the perfect man is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now open your Bible to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Let's just emphasize that point and then we go into the main business of the day. So all these are just preambles. 2 Peter. Chapter 3. So we're going to move from the end to the beginning. We start from the end, then we finish at the beginning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Yes? Who has my mic? 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. Yes, go for it.
Right. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. I just read that again for emphasis sake. Then I say a few things there. 2 Peter 3. I'm just trying to help you meditate on it. I read again. He said, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. He's talking to believers. He's talking to the brethren. He said, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. You can't fall from your steadfastness. Amen? Otherwise, if you can't, it won't tell you to beware. Hallelujah. You can have something good and you can lose it. Amen? You can. If you can't, there's no point advising you. Yeah? The reason why you have to be steadfast is so that you don't lose it. Amen? If you couldn't lose it, you don't need to be steadfast. Just have a party. At the, where was that? The metal. Amen. Be steadfast. Yeah? Lest you fall away with the error of the wicked. But, someone say but. Grow in grace. Hallelujah. So what is the safest way to make sure you don't fall from your steadfastness? Concentrate on the mission of what? Growing in grace. When you stop growing, you're at risk. Hallelujah. God might have worked in your life. God might have done some things in your life. But the moment you stop progressing, you're at risk. You can regress. Hallelujah. You might have made a lot of progress. But when you stop engaging, you can what? You can regress. You can go back to exactly where you started from. Why? Because you stop growing in grace. You have to continue. That is but grow. You see, every time you hear growing grace, remind yourself that verse 17 is reminding us that you can fall from grace. Amen? And you don't want to what? Fall from grace. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. The reason is that there's deception in the world. There's corruption in the world. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that grew so big. Amen? And when it grew so big, the birds of the air came in and they nested. When I was a younger Christian, you thought that was good news. I read that Bible like good news. Yeah! The church is going to become mega. We're going to take over Basingstoke. every five minutes, you're going to have a church. The whole world will come to faith. That's not in the Bible. Amen? Hallelujah. But when you look at those parables, you remember the first parable. Because Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you can't understand all these other parables. It's the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, we heard about the seed that was scattered on the wayside. Then what happened? What happened to the seed that was scattered on the wayside? Come on, somebody help me. Someone that knows their Bible. Parable of the sower. Yeah? The sower went out and sowed. Yeah? The first set is that this, some of this seed was scattered on the wayside or the pathway. Then what happened to them?
The birds got some.
The birds came and ate them all up. Amen? Now, let me take another question. So now, Jesus later interpreted the parable. And what was the interpretation of that part of the parable, that the seed on the wayside, the birds came and ate them? What's the interpretation? Somebody help me. This side. Young people. Let's start young people. Their mind is here. What was the interpretation? The seed was put on the wayside and the birds came and ate them. What was the interpretation? Interpretation.
Doubt, fear, or whatever took the words away from their heart.
So let's say again.
Doubt or fear or whatever. It could
it's be. Not doubt or fear. Yes. Any idea? Youth. Actually, you are in the region of youth to adult. Okay, I don't want to put you on the stand. Anybody now? The birds came, yeah, and ate up all the seed. Then Jesus interpreted it. What is the interpretation? Yeah, I will not call you. It's not fair. The birds came. Who were the birds?
As it the things in the world, so not allowing the word to penetrate your heart.
The answer you gave, just like Sean's answer, is a good answer, but it's just not, it's not correct. It's not precise. Yeah, but it's good. Yeah? Doubt or fear can affect the word in your heart. We know that. The word, or the curse of this word, can affect the word in your heart. We know that. But that's not interpretation. Okay, should we open there? Tell us where is it? Let me give them a clue. Is it Matthew one? Matthew, or there are two of them, but in Mark 4, you want to open your Bible, just which verses? Mark chapter 4. Yes, can you tell us the verse we need to look at? Mark chapter 4. Anybody give me the, yes? Okay, let's just read it. Mark chapter 4 verse 3 first, and then the interpretation will be, thank you, from, let me see. Yes, thank you. So Mark 4 3 first, somebody read. Now, once you start reading, I'll let you read everything we have to read. Mark 4 13 first. Yeah, come on, church. Who's ready? Here's a young person. Young person. Mark 4 3. Yes. Mark 4:3. Firstly, Mark chapter 4 verse 3. Read it. Please pay attention.
Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and
the
devoured
birds
it.
Of the air came, and what did they do?
Devoured it.
They what?
They devoured it.
Amen. Now, let's go to verse 13. Read from verse 13 to 15. Yes, please follow in your Bible. Mark 4, 13 to 15. Go on, please.
And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts."
Amen. Amen. So who were the birds? Satan! By the way, you know when the Bible says Satan, don't think just one person. It's the whole kingdom. Amen? It's the kingdom of evil. The Bible says Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He has many lieutenants under him. They are the birds. Amen? So the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and it grew so big, and then what happened? What happened? The birds came and nested inside it. Amen? That's what I'm trying to explain in 2 Peter 3:17. He said, "Beware lest you fall from your steadfastness and fall away with the error of the wicked." Because there is false doctrine. There is deception. There is corruption. Yeah? That has filtered in into the church. And if you are not steadfast, you can be carried away with the lie. The problem is that once you believe the lie, yeah, you will begin to fall from grace. Hallelujah. Because you are no longer focused on the truth. Amen? You know, Jesus said, "I'm the way and what? And the truth. And what? And the lie." So you must beware of the lie. Because the lie will draw you away from your steadfastness to the truth. The lie will corrupt it. The lie will say, "You know, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that." Once we are all happy, the lie will tell you, say, "You know, what's wrong with love? If you love me and I love you, what can be wrong?" Amen. What can be wrong? Hallelujah. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Can you do better than God? Tell me, can you? God that gave you the brain to think, told you that something is wrong. Then you, with your micro brain, that you receive from God, saying God did not receive it well. Hallelujah. 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 So, beware of the error. There's error. There's error. Nothing is just like, you know, you can't take anything for granted. Hallelujah. You can't take anything what? For granted. Pay attention to the truth. Pay attention what? To the truth. And when I say that, I'm talking about the Word of God and the Son of God. Because the Son of God is the Word of God. And He is the truth. So long you keep paying attention to Him, paying attention to Him, you'll be growing in grace. Devil's goal is to distract you with everything. He will try to distract you. He will distract you. That's his mission. One of the master weapons of Satan is what? Deception and distraction. In fact, actually, it's deception. But a master strategy of deception is what? Distraction. You can't be deceived until you are first what? Distracted. Hallelujah. You can't be, if you are focused, yeah, on the truth, you can't be deceived. But when you are distracted, now you can be what? Deceived. Amen? Have you noticed, you know, I don't know whether this happens to you. I mean, that's what I mean, when I'm walking the town and I'm a bit distracted, it's easy for someone to confuse me and try to sell me what I'm not interested in because my mind was distracted. But when I'm focused, like I went to town on Thursday evening, I was trying to meet up with Sister Pamela. And I was distracted. I don't know what distracted me. I was thinking of something and then some boys just came my way. I mean, I didn't know where they had showed up in my front. And they're trying to sell me a badge. say for £1, and I look at the message on the badge. I can't say it here because of the language. So why would I spend £1 to buy this, you know, swearing language? But I was, how did they manage to get in front of me? Because I was distracted. I was not seeing. Oh, I remember what distracted me. I was going past this street kitchen. You know, is there a street kitchen? I was just thinking to myself, oh, these people work hard. They work hard all day. They're just there, and it was a bit cold, and like, and I was distracted. Amen? Beware of distraction, because it can open the door to what? Deception. And deception can make you fall from grace, because you stop paying attention to the truth. Hallelujah. You see, truth bears repeating. Truth bears what? Repeating. If you know the truth, but you stop meditating on it, you will lose your revelation of the truth. Very soon, the lie will not look so bad. Hallelujah. Truth bears repeating. Hallelujah. If you're going to be steadfast, it means you are giving it attention. You are repeating it. Until someone says, when can I stop giving attention to the truth? Until you make it safely home. Hallelujah. When you are home, it's all done. Hallelujah. You become part of the cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. That's where you want to be. Amen. Let's go to 2 Peter 1. I'm conscious of time and I'm intending to finish on time. So I just have to compress things. But I hope that sunk in. You know, that's, it was not my main message, but that's a bonus from the Holy Spirit. So 2 Peter 1. I just want to treat verse 5 to 11 today. Because another problem we have sometimes as believers is that we focus on the icing of the on the cake and I never really go deep down for the real substance of the cake. So basically, I open the Bible verse and I see the part that I like. I memorize it. I quote it. But all the other verses explaining the principles of that thing, I don't piece it out. So for example, when I go to 1 Peter, the things I like there is grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the Lord of Christ. I like that. I memorize it. But you have to go further and it begins to break down how that works. And sometimes we just ignore that. We're not paying attention. So it's like you're going for the icing. Have you ever seen little children go for the icing on the cake? And they're dying for the icing. You know, if I had my way, if I was the prime minister, yeah, I will try to enact the law and ban all cake decoration. So save all your time. My wife bakes a cake. Maybe 2 hours or three. I don't know. How long do you bake a cake for? How long? Just baking. 1 hour. Yeah? Each. Just baking a cake. You know, a nice cake. Yeah? Just the real cake. The real substance. Yeah. Okay. Let's for 5 minutes. Yeah? Cake is ready. Then 6 hours. Or 5 to decorate the cake. Sometimes people sleeping at 2 a.m. Can you imagine that? Yeah. On the icing. On the decoration. It's not the real substance. It's just the presentation. Hallelujah. Now, I can understand that it's for the party. Yeah. But for your real life, what you need is the real substance. Amen. I go, almost tell her, you know what? If it's in my bed, don't bother about the decoration. Because the problem with your decoration is that you're thinking of the picture. But if you're thinking of my tummy, my stomach, forget the decoration. Come and spend that 5 hours with me. I'll be grateful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so 2 Peter 1. So let's look at some substance in 2 Peter chapter 1. So just someone help me. Verse 5 to 2 Peter, verse 5 to 11. Yes, that's where we focus on. Break it down, and then we finish the sermon there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. Let's start with you. Yes, whoever has it, tell us which version. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11.
That's NLT version. 5 to 11, yeah?
Yes.
In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence.
You are to supplement your faith. Now, what faith we're talking about? We're talking about your faith in Christ. Yeah? Your faith in Christ as your Savior. Your faith in Christ as your Lord. Your faith in Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Your faith in Christ as the only way to heaven. Yeah? So, when we talk, if someone comes to me and says, I'm in faith, it means you're a believer. You're in Christ. You have become a son of God. You have become a daughter of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But that's not the stopping point. It's the starting point. When you come to Christ, it's the starting point to your transformation. It's the starting point to God's plan for your life. You cannot say, I've come to Christ and then just cross your leg and do whatever you like. No. That's the starting point. But you have to supplement it. Continue, please. Supplement your faith. Continue.
Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence.
You are called not just to faith, but to moral excellence. Continue.
And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone.
Now listen, somebody's saying to me, why do I need to supplement my faith? Say to me, why do I need to supplement my faith? You know, why, don't say this, but why is just coming to faith not enough? Because if it's enough, I don't need to supplement. Does it make sense? If you need to supplement something, it's not enough on its own. Huh? But why? So verse 8. Continue.
The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
When you supplement your faith like that, you'll be fruitful and useful. Amen? You'll be what? Fruitful and useful. God is looking for fruitfulness and usefulness. Hallelujah. You know, someone said, you know, God, I love you so much. You know what God replied? He said, if you love me, obey my commandment. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. The proof that you love him is to obey him. If you're not going to obey him, there's no point telling you love him. You understand? He's not having an emotional problem. Then he would say, I love you, God, to make him feel happy. Amen? If you love him, what's the proof? You obey. Continue, verse 8.
The more you grow like this.
The more you grow like this. So you see, when you begin to, these things he's telling us in verse 5 to 7 are the things we need to do to help us grow in grace. It's a list. So earlier he told us to, you know, grace and peace be multiplied to the knowledge of God. Now he's breaking it down. Yes, things we need to do that will help us continue to grow in grace. Because the more you grow like this, how? By supplementing your faith with this stuff, yeah? Everything is still pointing back to Christ, I'll show you. You will grow. Yeah, continue. The more you grow like this,
the more productive and useful.
You see the point? I'm repeating this point. You, as a believer, you have to be productive and useful for Jesus. I mean, like we were at the meeting yesterday, and there was a message going on. And he says something like, you know, someone comes to you and says, you know, like, particularly in the Pentecostal church, and say, you know what, I had a great vision, you know, overnight. I saw the angel Gabriel, angel Michael, the host of heaven, whatever, you know, and God really spoke to me. Amen? And then, but that's all you hear. You never see them come to set up. You never see them come to pack up. You never see them do anything for God. Even giving is a problem. Yeah? So what is your revelation? Yeah, if you not produce anything, yeah, tangible, that is useful for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue, please.
The more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop.
Now listen to this one. This is part I really want to pay attention. I read the Bible. That's why it's important that you read the Bible. Yes? Those who fail to develop. Who is he talking to?
Believers.
They came to faith. But they failed to what? Develop. Continue.
But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins.
They were cleansed. But as they began to regress, they forgot that they have been what? Cleansed. You can reach the regression is terrible. I don't know whether you've ever seen some regression. Yeah? Something was doing well, then it reached a point, and it stopped doing well, and then, little by little, they started going back to all the things they left behind, until their last state is worse. Worse than even what they were when they started. It's regression. I pray that regression will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will continue to progress in your spiritual life unto the perfect day in the name of Jesus Christ. Continue.
So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now, it's not enough to start the journey. You have to finish well the journey. Finish well. Finish strong. Amen. It's important that you start well. But it's more important that you finish strong. Hallelujah. You finish. Yeah, you finish the journey. You make it home successfully. Hallelujah. Successfully. You finish the race. You get the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, one day you will leave this world, whether you like it or not. You're going to live either by death or by rapture. I pray that you live by rapture. But rapture is not that easy. Hallelujah. Rapture is not that easy. You know why? There were 10 virgins. They were all waiting for the bridegroom. Yeah? All of them wanted to make it to the wedding feast. All of them had lamps. Your lamp is your spirit. The spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord. It all came with their hearts. Yeah? But 5 were wise. They paid attention. 5 were foolish. They did not pay attention. But they all loved the Lord. Because they all wanted to. They all called him Lord and they all wanted to enter. But 5 applied themselves to what he told them to do. Yeah? 5 did not. So what happened? The bridegroom came at night, in the middle of the night. Why did he choose that time? Why didn't he come when they were all super ready? Amen? Why? Why did he choose the most awkward time? Like our days. These are the days we live in. We live in awkward days where moral standards is just falling. Hallelujah. You know, the generation is a generation that has kicked God out. I'm not talking about the young people. I'm talking about the generation that handed over to them. I want you to understand that the problem is not just with the young generation. They're just an unlucky one. The problem is the generation that did not hand over the baton well to the next one. Hallelujah. The baton, something we did wrong in the previous generation that ensured that there was no good handover to the next what? Generation. But you see, all is not lost because God is always working. Hallelujah. God is always what? Working. Bible says, while we were yet sinners, yeah, Christ died for us. When we could not help ourselves, God stepped in to help us. Hallelujah. And so you know that with God, no situation is hopeless. Hallelujah. But you have to apply yourself. That's what I'm trying to say. You have to apply yourself. If you're not going to pay attention and give yourself fully, yeah, to what God is offering you, you can lose out. And it's not God's fault because God has done his part. Hallelujah. It's just you cooperating with God. Yielding to him. Giving yourself more and more to him. Hallelujah. Let's go to King James. Thank you, sir. Let's go to King James. Do that again. First, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. Somebody, let me get the mic. Somebody give me King James. Old King James. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Old King James. Who has old King James? Or the traditional King James, not new. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to this. Second Peter 1, 5. I want to teach you something very important here. Go on, please.
And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And
amen. Amen. Let me just stop you there. So I know you're used to me, so you won't mind. If you want to grow in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what's the first thing you need to do according to that verse? Read it again. Read it again.
Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue.
So if I want to grow in my faith, or if I want to add to my faith, what's the first thing I need to do according to 2 Peter 1, 5? What? Give it all diligence. Give it what? Oh, dear. Can somebody translate that to me in a different language? What? In the same English language, in a different way of saying, if I say something, if I say to you, say, give that all diligence. Give me another phrase that says that. Be diligent. Another phrase. Any other phrase? Give it all diligence. Say it. Say it in a different way. Any and every means necessary. Yes, another one.
Attentive.
Pay attention. Another one. I'm looking for one. Give it. Any other one. So I'm looking for a phrase that nobody has said. If I told you, give that thing all diligence. What am I trying to tell you to do? All left. Faithfully, obedient. Yeah, I'm looking for a word. All your answers are correct. I'm just looking for a word. Try to help me find it. Thorough, that's closest. More? All awareness. Okay, the phrase because of time. Sorry? Persistent. The phrase because of time is take it seriously. Take it seriously. Take your faith in Christ seriously. Take it more seriously than your job. Take it more seriously than your family. Take it more seriously than your retirement or your pension. Take it more seriously, than your tradition or your culture. Take it more seriously than your talents or your skill or your looks. Hallelujah. Take your faith seriously. Give it all diligence. If you don't give it all diligence, you will not grow as you should grow. Hallelujah. You'll be giving that attention to something else. Because that something else is serious. It's important to you. Hallelujah. So people who don't give, the diligence to their faith, rather than progressing, they are either stagnant or they regress. And I'm telling you that if you are spiritually stagnant, you will regress. The only guarantee not to regress is to what? To grow in grace. Hallelujah. So what's the first thing we need to add to our faith? What's the first thing you need to add to our faith? I'll try to round up in 5 minutes. First thing you need to add to your faith in your Bible. Check it. 2 Peter 1, 5. What? Virtue. What is virtue? What is virtue? Yes? I need some answers. Mike. What is virtue? Yes. What's the meaning of virtue? I had a simple translation in another version. What is virtue? What? Moral standard. Sorry, sir. Moral standard. More? Another one? What is virtue? Check another version. New Living. The youth here, they've been too quiet. I don't know whether they're in church. Virtue. What is virtue? Check New Living Translation. Somebody open it. 2 Peter 1, 5, New Living. Let's read it. 2 Peter 1, 5, New Living.
In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence.
Supplement your faith with what? Moral excellence. You are called to moral excellence. You can't be a believer, and you're just a dishonest person. You're not straightforward. And be a Christian. You love Jesus. You're not growing. Add to your faith moral excellence. That is, do your best to do what is right. Amen? All the time. You may not achieve it, but you are committed to it. Hallelujah? You are not trying to cut the corner. You are a believer, but every day of your life you are trying to what? Cut the corner. That's not moral excellence. Amen? Do it right. to the best of your ability. Moral integrity. Amen? It's important. Because as you do that, you're growing. Because that's who Christ is. Do you think Christ will be trying to cut corners? No. Amen? No. Moral excellence. Yes, what's the next thing to add to your faith? King James. Let me get the mic. Thank you, sir. So the first thing to add to your faith is moral excellence or virtue. Yes, another one. Next one is what?
Knowledge.
I need to deal with this one at least before we finish the sermon. What does it mean by knowledge? Add to your faith knowledge. What does that mean? He said you have faith in Christ, but now you need knowledge. Yeah? Understanding. Let me just see. I'm trying to manage time. The Greek word for that knowledge there in this is gnosis. It's general knowledge. Amen? Yes? I cannot miss you. Say.
Reading and understanding the word of God.
Yes! How do you get knowledge? What's the one word you need if you want to get knowledge in life? What do you need to do? Study! Study! Hallelujah. If you are a lazy Christian, you are not study, you will lack knowledge. And when you lack knowledge, you'll be ignorant and you'll be shallow. You'll be shallow. Yeah? Hallelujah. You don't read your Bible. You don't read Christian books. You don't listen to other sermons. Even the sermon you miss church. But the sermon was put on online. You don't listen to it. You're lacking knowledge. Hallelujah. You are lacking knowledge. You have to grow in your knowledge of the Christian faith. If you want to be fruitful and useful. You're spending all your time. Yeah? On social media. Consuming the junk of the world. I know it's entertaining. Don't misunderstand me. You are spending your time on TV. It doesn't matter what you are watching on TV. Yeah? It doesn't matter. There's a lot of... The icing on the cake is nice. But it's not the real cake. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying you should not eat icing. But I'm advising you to try to eat more cake than what? Icing. You don't spend all your time eating icing. You need to invest time to study the Word of God. And I'm not saying only your Bible. Some say, oh, but if I'm not reading the Bible, I could borrow it. There are Christian books dealing with different aspects. There are many parts of the Bible you are ignorant on. You're sitting here, you've even never read the book of Revelation in your life. But it's there for you to read. That's why God put it there. Now, when you read it, you may not understand it, but there are other books that will help you understand it. There are books that deal with relationship. There are books that deal with spiritual authority. Study. You have to give it diligence. Study. Don't so that you not be ignorant. And someone say, you know what? I finished school, so now I don't need to study. Amen? This study is not about school. It's about life. Have you finished life? Until you finish life, you need what? To study. Hallelujah. Read a Christian book. Not just in magazines. And YouTube. And Facebook. And you will laugh. You want to laugh? Go to Facebook. They'll give you a lot of short videos that you will laugh. You will just be laughing. Amen? But you are shallow. You are empty. You are empty spiritually. Hallelujah. Knowledge. You need knowledge. Because of time, I will try to finish. I'll take one more and I'll finish there. If you don't study, you will not be ready. Let me explain that. If you don't study, you will not be what? You will not be prepared. Your reading and study else prepares you for when something will be demanded of you. Because now you are in the know. You know what you ought to know. Hallelujah. If you are going to a new place, study about the place. If you are meeting you are having a new job or a new situation, study. If you're going for an interview, study. If you're in school academically, don't wait until exam season. Study. And I was saying to my son, I said, when you go to uni, it's not like, okay, fine, you're going to have 5 years of studying, then you're going to have your GCSE exams, which summarizes your 5 years. No. University education is modular. Every semester, you're going to have some modules. At the end of the semester, you have 2 semesters in a year, yeah? At the end of the modules, you do an exam with that module. That is the end of that module forever. Whatever you score is your final score. Even 4 years later or 3 years later when you finish university, your score in that module remains your score in that module. Hallelujah. So the best way, you won't do well in the module, study. Don't wait until the exam time, study. Every time you teach you something, go back home and revise it. It's not that difficult. Amen? Let me ask one more. So what else do you add to your knowledge? What do you add to your knowledge? Do you have the mic? Mike. Let me do one more, then we'll leave it there. What's the next thing you add to? You add to your faith, virtue, which is moral excellence. You add to your to virtue, knowledge. The knowledge of the Christian faith, the proper Torah knowledge. Then what's the next one you had?
Temperance.
Temperance! Now, what does New Living say? New Living, add to your faith, moral excellence, the moral excellence, knowledge. After knowledge, what's the next thing New Living says? Yes,
let's with self-control.
Self-control. Let me ask you this question. We'll finish at, I'll finish on temperance, but I thought I should touch temperance. What is the difference between temperance? You know, temperance is Old King James. That's the more concentrated version. You know, like when you have scotch, the Old King James is the original scotch. Because it, to me, it's the closest in English to what the Greek is saying. But all the other versions are diluting it in one way or the other. They're not useless. It's just that they're giving you a shade of meaning, but not the whole full possible meaning. Of course, the full meaning, you go back to Greek. Yeah? But the closest is to English. So it says temperance. So New King James says self-control. What's the difference between temperance and self-control? They are similar, of course. They must be similar. Any difference? Please think about it and help me. And if you don't know it, I permit you to check Google.
Temperance is taking a more balanced approach.
It's a more balanced approach. Or in other words, it's a fuller approach. There are some things that temperance communicates that self-control does not communicate. Yes? Any other person? I need some answers. Temperance and self-control. Maybe somebody has not heard the word temperance. And a Bible version says, be temperate in all things. What does that mean? Temperance. Yes, check Google. Someone give me some definitions from Google. Temperance. Today I want to introduce you to temperance. And that this is something you should add to your faith. Temperance. Not just self-control, but what? Temperance. Even the fruit of the Spirit, the newer version we call it self-control. But the Old King James calls it what? Temperance. And I'm saying that temperance is a more powerful word that I want to unpack today for your benefit. Yes? Anybody checking meaning? Where are the young people? I mean, like, you can at least use your Google.
So, it can be self-restraint.
Self-restraint. That sounds like self-control.
Yeah. Also, to be more thoughtful and controlled.
Okay, let's stop it there and go to somebody else. Temperance. There are many dictionaries. Just, I'm coming to you. Go, young person first. Temperance. What does it mean of temperance? Define temperance.
Temperance tends to focus more on moderation.
Moderation!
And balance in specific areas of
moderation
life.
And balance! Moderation and what? Balance. Hallelujah. Moderation and balance. Yes? More? Any other one? As we're running up there.
Self-control is more about internal regulation of desires and impulses,
mm-hmm.
while temperance is broader, focusing on moderation.
Temperance is broader. It's focusing on what? Moderation. Amen? Yes, yes. Any other comments before we finish this temperance business?
Abstinence as well.
Abstinence is included in temperance. In fact, basically, part of the definition of temperance includes abstinence from alcohol. As part of the definition. Yeah? It's temperance. Yeah, you are not out of control. Everything is under control. Nothing controls you. Amen? Nothing controls you. You are not under the influence, yeah, of anything, including anger. You know, Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. It means that Bible doesn't say you cannot be angry. Amen? You can be angry at something that is wrong. But will that anger control you? The moment, even when you are angry at something that is wrong, the moment that anger controls you, it's a sin. Because you are out of control. Amen? Somebody kills somebody, yeah? And you got so angry with them, and then you kill them. You know, this happened to Moses. He didn't murder the man, it was manslaughter. You know, because when in the law, when someone commits manslaughter, they have to run away into exile, which is what he did. Yeah? Moses saw an Egyptian, yeah? Were they fighting? Okay, I've forgotten the text. With an Israelite. And he got angry. Maybe he just wanted to give him a knock on the head to correct him. He didn't mean to kill him. He didn't plan to kill that Egyptian. Yeah? But his anger was so strong. Now when he set out to give him just a slap, he twisted his neck. I'm just saying. Yeah? Yeah? He didn't murder him. He didn't want to kill him. But his anger was out of control. So that verse says, temperance is must be under control. If it's not under control, it's a sin. Even if you're angry for the right reasons. Amen? Let me give some definitions here and then we'll finish it there. Temperance is the quality of moderation or self-restraint. Now, self-control deals with the self-restraint, but moderation is part of it. If you don't practice moderation, you will struggle with self-restraint. Moderation is what you do ahead of time when you're not yet in the midst of provocation in any part of your life. Yeah? And so that prepares you for, if you've not practiced yourself or trained yourself in moderation, it becomes more difficult to practice self-control. Amen? Moderation is ahead before the situation happens. Yeah? Another definition of temperance is moderation in action, thought, or feeling. Habitual moderation in the indulgence of the appetites or passions. And then another definition is abstinence from alcohol. Let's get up. Let's write up. I need to stop there. I have more to dish out, but it's okay. You know, let's talk to God. We are talking about growing in grace. And really, I've explained today, just recapture that. Your ultimate goal of growing in grace is to become Christ-like. Because that's your destiny. Amen? You were predestined to be conformed. That's why you know that anybody who comes to this life and does not to fulfill that destiny, they live a useless life. And I'm sorry to say that, it's just the word of God. That the central figure of existence is Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the model that we all want to be like. Amen? To conform to his image is the peak of your spirituality. Amen? To become Christ-like is the peak of all your religion. If all your religion does not make you more Christ-like, it was a false religion. Hallelujah. Because Jesus himself is the express image of the Father that we are all going to conform to. Hallelujah. And he's the one we're going to get home. He's the way. We'll continue to walk that way. You walk it. You don't just get on the way. You walk it until you get home. Amen. Talk to God and say, Lord, help me. I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in my faith. And I understand that that means I want to become more and more like Jesus. Hallelujah. I want my faith to be supplemented with moral excellence, virtue. And I want to apply myself to study, to be diligent, not lazy. Playing games. I want to apply myself to study. Read your Bible. Read Christian books. Listen to Christian books. Listen to Christian sermons. Listen to what will edify your soul. Not just what will entertain your soul. I want to grow in my temperance, which is moderation. And self-restraint, so that I'm not never out of control. I don't want to be ever out of control. Because when I'm out of control, the flesh can take over. But I want to be yielded in moderation so that the Holy Spirit can work in me. Father, I ask that you help me. In Jesus' name. Amen.